One thing that's wonderful about this church is it's a word church and it's a Holy Ghost church. And as we've said, you know, Dennis and I mainly teach on prayer and on the Holy Spirit when we're on the road. And so then you have to also, when you teach something or preach something, you have to live it. And so, you know, we'll be going out and we'll be teaching, and there's still just always so much to learn. But you know, there's certain ways that the Holy Ghost, he helps you, he shows you things. And so, but it's kind of amazing sometimes that even when you've taught these things and you've walked in them, sometimes you still can be slow. And he's such a great tutor. He'll keep working with you. So I am going to get into the areas with corporate prayer at the end. And so don't unhook from me, you know, right now with that topic. But the thing was, every time I get ready, and I had my notes, you know, ready, and I love the way Pastor, you know, the way they teach so much line upon line. And so, you know, you're getting everything ready, and I'd be praying about this morning. And as I'd be praying about this morning, a sermon that Dennis did 20 years ago kept coming to my mind. And I would, you know, think, okay, why is that coming up? You know, I mean, I hadn't thought of that sermon, and I can't tell you that many details, but he had a sermon he was preaching about being stirred up, about being stirred up. And so several days went by, and I was praying again about the service. I mean, the very same thing happened, where I'm praying, and all I'm seeing and hearing is this thing about stirring up. And the reason why I probably can remember that sermon so well was because we had a lady in our church in Duluth that we called the Faith Lady. And she would come out dressed up at different times and do skits and illustrations. And it was geared towards the children. We had the children in the service one Sunday a month. And so usually the Faith Lady would come when the children were in the service. And yet we all loved it because she was so creative. Well, anyway, she was also our secretary. So she got wind that Dennis was preaching on being stirred up. And so we had a very wonderful blend in our church of seriousness and freedom of expression. I don't know how to say it. Well, anyway, Lisa handed out everybody all these spoons, and Pastor didn't know it. And so he's getting ready, and he's talking about being stirred up. And all of a sudden, in the congregation, you know, all these spoons are being swirled in the air, you know. And, of course, and it was done, you know, in good taste. But the thing was, something happened in the spirit when we did it. Now, be at peace. I knew Josh could be a wild man. I knew the Shawns could be a wild man. I thought, oh no, if I have Josh and Sean on the front row, you know, I should have handed out some spoons. But the thing that I want to illustrate was that as I said this morning, we have choices. And God's always wanting to stir things in our hearts. Especially, I think it can be at the end of summer. I know that the beginning of summer, Dennis and I had such stirrings in our hearts about prayer, you know, and I will admit that the multitude of tasks that were this summer, you know, I come to the end of the summer and I'm thinking, did I really enter in to what God had? But, you know, I'm not going to be under condemnation. I'm just preaching to myself as well to you and about being stirred up. So, yes, this morning, you know, it's like, yes, we're not going to have spoons stirred in up. We're not going to have visual things. But I think the Holy Ghost used that because no one ever has forgotten that sermon. And to this day, there'll be times when people will say, I realized I was getting dry. You know, and the Lord reminded me of that stirring. You know, when we did move to Duluth, and we moved from Kansas to Duluth, it was really cold. And so I learned to make soups. If you need a soup recipe, I have enough soup recipes for every one of you in the church. And so, of course, you always go back to the good old Kansas staple chili. And so you realize when you're making soup, and you're making especially chili or things that have heavier items in it. Those beans all go to the bottom. The hamburger all goes to the bottom. These things all go to the bottom. And if you don't stir it, if you don't go to the good things that are at the bottom, You get to those really meaty, weighty things that are at the bottom. They'll lie at the bottom and they'll just scorch. So there's times in the Spirit. God knows. God knows what we need. He knows what this church needs. He knows what the church at large needs. He knows when there's been good things in our heart that have been at the bottom. He knows what needs to be blended. He'll even do that with our giftings. You know, there are some stirrings. If we would even talk about this morning with prayer, you know, let God stir your heart. Let God take and any idea you have of prayer. I mean, there's been so many sermons. When we go and teach on prayer, oh my gosh, it's like, Lord, help us. Because some people's ideas, prayer's just dry, prayer's boring, prayer's a ritual, prayer's a duty. I mean, some of people have sat in so many dry prayer sessions, and then you have to let God breathe and quicken and know that prayer is that true, genuine communication with God. And when there is true, genuine communication with God, someone's speaking and someone's listening and things are being done. But just like this morning, it was really seeing how God works, because this morning the Lord said, we'd have a choice. From the very get-go, you could choose whether we're going to let God stir some things in us today and the measure we're going to let him stir. Because there are some really wonderful things lying at the bottom of the pot in us and in this church. And you know, there's flavors. You know, if you're making something and you don't stir it well, there's lumps. And those lumps don't taste very good. And only God and his stirrings, because he knows how to do it without hurting us. You know, but I like this and I don't like that. I mean, that's what I even notice with flavors. I love to use lots of seasoning. And I get the big ones from Costco. We have a whole cupboard up there. But I have to be careful, because sometimes I can always, let's try this and let's try that. But, you know, I put seasonings in and you stir it. And those flavors blend. And that's why it's so amazing in a church. People are so different. People's ideas are different. People's ideas about prayer are different. You know, but we let the Holy Ghost stir those flavors. And you know, we all are going to be different. You know, prayer is like an orchestra. You know, you have the different instruments, and you're never, ever, ever, ever going to have a tuba sound like a flute. Are you? Even if the tuba played quietly and the flute played loud, the instruments, they are shaped differently. They have different sounds. And, you know, when you first even go to a symphony and you would hear the, you know, and is it just sound like chaos? I mean, they're all warming up. They're playing different cadences. They're on different pitches, you know, and you're thinking, I paid good money for this. But when the conductor takes and goes to the podium and he lifts, I mean, you can tell how much he lifts his stick. Baton, thank you. He lifts his baton. You miss his baton. Everybody no longer is playing their own thing. They're going to watch the score. They're going to follow the leader. And that's the way it has to be in our lives, in a church, and in prayer. Because we find that in prayer, you know, I mean, some people come to prayer and they want it where it's just all quiet. And if anybody prays and it's not quiet, that's irreverent. You have somebody else come in and it's all quiet and say, oh, this is boring. You have someone come in and they want just English scriptures. I understand English scriptures. That's the way I want prayer. And then you have someone who prays loud, and God can have them pray loud. But if they came in and a group is praying quietly, what they would think, well, they're getting nothing done. We have all these man-made ideas, and we have certain bents, and they're not wrong. They are not wrong. You will find that whoever leads prayer will lead it differently, and whoever's there will make a difference. But what I think we haven't caught in the church is it makes a difference when people come, even if they don't really understand everything, if they'll come with their heart open to God, if they'll come with the expectancy that God's going to teach them, if they'll come to learn, if they'll come and bring their presence. You know, you can get where you have people come and you don't even have to open your eyes. You know when there's people there because they bring God, they bring their supply, and you could be a baby in these things and not even hardly know a thing about prayer, and you could come and your supply would be amazing. If your heart is right. Worship this morning was great. Because the heart was so pure. There was not pride. There was not religion. There was a heart reaching for God. It doesn't make any difference if there's two. I mean, we have different things we have. But you know, this church could have all the money that it needs. Any church could have all the money they needed. They could have staff where they even had too much staff. You could have every supply for the children. You could have every part for everything. And those things are all awesome. But if there was not the supply of God, if there was not the anointing of God, if there was not the supply of the Spirit, we could do wonderful, natural things to help people, but we would never invade darkness. We would never have the power to change people's lives. We would never have the power to draw people into this place that right now have images of God that are so wrong. Dennis and I were just with his classmates from his high school, and there were 12 that ran around together. There's 3 that have passed away, and 9 are still living. And so it was a wild situation. It was a good situation, but I'd not been with people that drink for a long time. And they were, it was just really different. Good people, but just really different. And yet we knew that from the get-go. And so you can imagine Dennis was the driver of the 15-passenger van in Los Angeles the whole time because he was the only ones who didn't drink. But they all grew up in church, all of them. Some of them even grew up in churches with altar calls. And they are so hardened to God. Because they had this image of church as boring, as do's and don'ts, and stuff. And when we would try to say to them, you know, but God's not like that, they wouldn't let us talk. Yet at the same time, you could see there was God, an element of the seeds in them was there. And they told us when they left, they have to always say this, they had to say, now we're atheists and we're staying atheists. Does that tell you God's already dealing in their hearts? Yeah, isn't it? But he says, you're the first nice Christians we've known. And hallelujah. We did laugh a lot. It's easy to laugh with Dennis, you know. And sometimes you had to laugh, you know. So we did laugh a lot. But we had to break down. And yet I was really hoping you could talk to him. But finally I realized, you know what? We just got to live it right now. Breaking down that mannequin of what they think church, God is in churches. They saw us love God. They saw us love each other. And they saw us love his word. And we had a distrust that this is the beginning. Well, that's the same thing that is with prayer. You know, it's like we have to let God stir all these things that we want. He says we have prayer with all manner of prayer. And when Pastor asked me to teach this morning on corporate prayer or on prayer, I knew that, you know, sometimes we've heard these things so many times. We've heard them so many times. And sometimes when we've heard things so many times, it's almost like then the devil wants to condemn us or whatever. But this morning it was really amazing because the Lord spoke in my heart. He says, you'll have a choice to either let me stir some things in your heart. Or your mind doesn't, you just let him stir things in our hearts. Just stirring up love for him. Stirring up some of those things that have been dormant. Stirring up our passion for him. Hallelujah. And you know what? I know no matter what I would just say, I can give information. I can give things, but it will only be him. You know, we have found that, you know, it's not just willpower. You know, willpower will set you in the right place, and information will get people started. But we've seen that no matter what information I would give you about prayer or the need that this church has with corporate prayer, then, you know, it's like that could get us started, but that whenever is the river of life that would keep it going. But as God touches our hearts and he opens our eyes and we get the revelation, because you know what? It is the corporate prayer, but, Jesus was not moved by needs. He was moved by supply. God would put in his heart, you go to this place. And God already had in his heart the anointing and the answers to who he would meet. So it's not just the fact that, yes, what the vision that God has for this church and the influence this church will have will greatly depend on the God in us, the supply in us. But hallelujah. But that is something that is just letting him touch our hearts. Letting him stir some things in us today. You know, the thing that I have found is that when God is telling you something and it seems different than what you want to do, he will confirm it. So I just want to share with you that that when I was going to talk about stirring hearts, because you're thinking, oh Lord, you know with that, hallelujah, it's going to have to be him, his anointing, his quickening, his joy, his excitement. It's him. It's that communication with him. And so the Lord impressed on my heart to go get two books that I hadn't looked at for a long, long time. Well, this is why I just want to tell you how it's so amazing how God works. Because I opened up the first book, and you know, I don't know about you, but lots of times I never open up a book to the first page. Are you guys like that? You know, lots of times, you know, you open up your Bible or you open up a book and it just falls open to a certain place. And so I'm looking at the book and I open this up and I want you to see what first thing I read. It says, have you ever noticed how God's voice becomes faint when you're not spending much time communing with him? When you feel as if the Lord seems so far away, just stir up your lines of communication and you'll feel that closeness that you desire once again. Well, I found three different places in this book talked about stirring yourself up. Well, especially when you open up a book and the first page you look at, it says, well, just stir up your lines of communication if God feels far away. You think the Spirit of God is endeavoring to say something to us? And if he is saying something to us, do you think there is the anointing to do that? And if no one else walked in here feeling a little bit dry or distracted from the summer, maybe you didn't. And you know, this is not a message to say, oh, we're doing anything wrong. This is just a message to say that whatever the life is, whatever is in us, oh, there's more. There's quickenings of the Spirit. There's an excitement in God. There's stirrings of God. Hallelujah. And so that can be so true. Sometimes, you know, this summer, even Dennis and I found, even though we've had a prayer ministry, you know, you'd have days where you'd get up and it seemed like the demands were there the moment you woke up. And you'll find that sometimes when you've gotten away from that, just talking to God and fellowshipping with him, that it can start to get like it feels a little harder, a little colder, or more natural-minded. But I found that if that ever happens, then all you have to do is just turn around and press back towards God. Sometimes you can start getting back in the Word, and the Word can seem a little dry at first. What you do, you just keep staying in the Word, and pretty soon that revelation knowledge flows. Or maybe you start talking to God, And it feels like, do you know what it would be? Like you were, some people would say, oh, you're like you're talking to God, and you're just talking in the air, and no one's hearing you. Well, you know, sometimes you go back to the Word of God on things of prayer and know what the truth is. And then the other part is, it says, in James, it says, you draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And so sometimes you have to just break through the barrier. And sometimes, because you don't even realize, you know, sometimes we can get where we're not really talking to Him much. Or we don't even realize how much He wants to talk to us. It says when He created Adam and Eve, it says He came down and walked with them. Oh, you know what? I am so glad that we serve a living God. I'm so glad. It's, you know, we have cell phones now, and most every one of us, I mean, we endeavor to keep that cell phone charged, and we endeavor to keep that cell phone where we can contact people all the time. But what is so amazing is we've had a wireless contact with someone for 2,000 years. What is so important is that we know that we have access to Him, and we know that as we release our faith and go to Him, we can change things in this world. We are His voice. We are His supply to this earth through prayer. When you, the whole thing I think sometimes is it's so important on prayer. One of the biggest things we find we have to break through is people's belief of God's character. We have to first break through that He's good. We have to break through that He's great. And then usually we, in prayer when we're teaching, we have to break through perfectionism. If I'm just doing it right. Oh, but hallelujah. If we, you know the joy that He has in His heart as we come and as we talk to Him and as we trust Him. Because what happens is we're either plugged into Him or we're plugged into something else. And He knows we have natural eyes. He knows the busyness and demands. But I can see so strong in the church, it will be that being plugged into Him. It will be that influence of Him. It will be that influence of heaven in our lives that will make all the difference. Because either when you, I don't know about you guys, but we sometimes lately haven't been using the air conditioner so much. So we plug in our fans, you know, and we had the short window of time. Dennis is like, he has a calculator like he has on the phone, so he knows exactly the temperatures. So he knows, he doesn't let me have the windows open past 63 degrees, you know. So we had the fans all plugged in, and so we have these outlets all plugged in, and you go and then you're plugging them in, and this works, and you unplug this and you move this. Well, it's so true, we don't even realize sometimes how much we've gotten plugged into our circumstances, how much we've gotten plugged in to the mindsets of those around us. We don't even realize how much we've gotten just plugged in to all the natural things, and they're not wrong. But hallelujah, just like that fan, all I have to do is unplug it and move it. Well, hallelujah, that's what we can do this morning. We can do this morning. We can let God stir some things in our hearts by just unplugging from some other things and plugging into Him. You know, the thing that what was so amazing was I was going through the book, and I was kind of just going through it. And then there was a whole chapter, chapter 6. And what does it say? It says, stir it up to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So whatever, just let him stir in our hearts today the part to pray, the part of anything with Him. Hallelujah. He is the one who is the life giver, and He lives in us. Hallelujah. Stir it up. You know, the thing I love about, and then of course I went to the other book, and you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Yeah. I opened up page to 190, and it talks about love, and the love within you is a compelling force in your life, and it will stir your heart and cause you to pray. When Jesus saw the multitudes, remember that's in, it says He saw the multitudes. Matthew 9, I'll read it. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues and proclaiming the good news. And he was curing all disease and weakness. And when he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy. And he said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray the Lord of the harvest to forest out and thrust the laborers into the harvest. Jesus saw the throngs. And because he saw them, what did he tell the disciples to do? He said, so pray. God can put a love in our hearts for this community, for this area, for our neighbors. He can put a love in our hearts for this church. He can put a love in our hearts for this vision. And so it's not something we're pushed to do. That love will move us. Because any prayers that are out of duty or out of the law, they don't really produce. It's from the heart. Hallelujah. You know, the thing and I won't go into detail on it because I want to go to some other things, but it talks about how sometimes we do make that choice, though, to stir ourselves up. Daniel, and it talks about in Daniel that he said that he read the book one day, and he saw that they had been in captivity for 70 years, and it was time for that captivity to be over. Now, we probably can't even visualize this, because they're in captivity where, I mean, they have no privileges, they have no rights, they have no power. And the Jewish people are not doing so great. They've mainly forsaken God. They're doing their own thing. They don't really, what we would even consider, deserve deliverance. But Daniel saw in the word of God that in 70 years, they were supposed to be free. So he didn't go about the environment. He didn't even go about the character and the condition of the people he was praying for. He went by the word of God, and it says that he stirred himself up to take hold of God. And then he was persistent. And what was amazing was it said then that God stirred the wicked king and caused them to be gone. So hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are stirring things in our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 One of the biggest things I think with all of this is just getting so honest. You know, there's areas of all of us, you know, that I've just realized, you know, getting so honest and saying, God, you know, I mean, if people say, oh, you God, first, Lord, I'm sorry, but Lord, I just think prayer's boring. That's not going to hurt his feelings. He's just going to bring light to you. That's it. God, I've been to prayer meetings and I just feel like I don't do any good. Be honest. And let him reveal truth to us, any of us. God, God, show me what to do. I think it's so important that we're just honest. You know, as we are just honest to him, he will bring light to us, truth to us. You know, but the biggest thing that we have to be willing to do is let him stir us. You know why that is? Because we don't even realize we have certain mindsets that we don't even realize we formed. We have certain mindsets. We have certain habits. We have certain things that could be hard in our heart that could be preventing us from fulfilling our destiny or even the destiny of this church. And so what we have to do is to say, Lord, I have my heart is so open to you. I just give you permission, Lord. You to stir my heart. I thank you, Lord, that if I have any mindset that I don't even realize, but it's limiting me on how I would relate to you or relate to other people. I thank you, Lord. You're helping me break through that. You're helping me to stir. If there's any hard place in my heart, I thank you, Lord. You have permission to stir things in my heart. Hallelujah. So So he is the one that will do the stirring. And then there were times that we will, like Daniel, I believe he's putting assignments with people. And you know what? There are all, not everyone is going to be called to certain places of prayer as others. And yes, everyone is to, it's so vital that we all have communion with God and talk to God. You know, and there's times that, you know, it says, Paul, many times he said, I mentioned you in prayer. So I think the next thing is when we think all prayer's got to be spending an hour every day or hours, no, that's not true either. But it's opening up our hearts and letting that voice come forth and bringing up petitions. There have been times in our lives when we realize later on, just stopping and praying for a few minutes saves someone's life. We didn't know that. See, and we think everything's got to be so dramatic. You know, that's the thing that we realize with prayer, that when we've talked about it, is that prayer is supernatural, but it's not always spectacular. And in this day and age, when there's so much high-action movies and entertainment, sometimes people can come to prayer, and they're so used to high-charged activity. You know what I'm saying? That if there's not bells and whistles, yes, we want the presence of God, we need the anointing of God, but, you know, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing as we will just obey the promptings of our heart, you know, and let God take something that you can wrap your heart around easily. You know, if you're even on whatever you're doing with some area with the church, you know, if it's something that with pastors the thing that is so amazing to me is to see the wonderful loyalty that's been in this church. And how many people have been here, and I see that loyalty character in our pastors. You know, and so, you know, maybe for someone, it's just so easy to wrap your heart around pastors. Lift that up. If somebody else, it's so easy for you to wrap your heart around the children's ministry. Lift that up. Find something that can quicken your heart with maybe the youth or something in the church, and start to lift that up. Because those will be quickenings. And then you're bringing a supply, and then I believe that there will be some time where, even if you come, let's say one time or whatever, when pastor will call a corporate prayer time, and a corporate prayer times mean, like, you know, a special prayer service, that it would be wonderful if a lot of us could come. And I realize, you know, you could look at us right now and say, well, you guys are the ones that are hardly ever here. Well, and we know that. We're on the road and different things, and we talked to pastors before we ever came. We knew that Wednesday nights. So we're going to try to arrange some things sometimes where maybe we can do a Wednesday night. But whatever the prayer time is on the corporate is, I'm not here to try to say, okay, now the next phase is, you know, you all be at a corporate, and some of you are. And you know the thing is, when Pastor Duane and Mary meet at, when they lead a prayer corporate meeting, it may be different than how any, you know, we all could probably lead it differently. But I know when Pastor Duane, when he asked me to teach about prayer today and about with corporate prayer, there's a reason, isn't there? And so I think sometimes when we, about coming to corporate prayer, it could be like, well, what would I do? And it's just amazing that when you come to a corporate prayer time, there's some things that can happen. I just want to share a few of these things. And hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I hope I don't want to be like preaching at you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I think we've all heard so much on prayer. We know it's the power source for our lives. We know it's the power source for this church. And you know, sometimes when we all even come with different understandings, different flavors of what we would like the most, but we come with our hearts hungry for God, because just like those friends of Dennis's or ours that have such wrong image of church, you know, it's only the truth and the love and the light of God to break down that mannequin that they think is real. And there's been so much said and taught with things with prayer. And if we're not careful, we've made it hard. We've made it complicated. And it's not. The thing with prayer is that it's from our hearts. It's heartfelt. And one thing that can happen when you come to corporate prayer, and I don't know on this, you know, people's schedules or whatever, but I believe there is going to be a time when pastor calls prayer, and there's going to be a tugging on our heart to come. Dennis and I we tried to do that too. It's like we're trying to figure out in our schedule in the next couple weeks on a Wednesday night, because it comes back to the same thing of the Spirit. It's not about the law. It's about whether the Spirit's drawing us. But I can tell you that in the times when Dennis and I would be with people that were teaching us to pray, you know, so much of it went over our heads. We didn't understand a lot of it. But we knew it was real. And we knew that it was vital for the church. You know, anything you've ever tasted says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And once people have ever tasted of knowing God's heart for something and praying it out on the earth, or how He can help you love people that you wouldn't even be able to love, He can help you hook up with things that in the natural you wouldn't even care about. So we have found that you can have deposits put in you in a corporate prayer time because of the corporate faith and the corporate anointing that's there. And sometimes it can help you break through a barrier in your own prayer life because of the sharpenings and quickenings that have happened there. You know, and you might come and you might not say a word. And that might be one of the reasons you wouldn't want to come, because you'd think, oh my, what am I going to say? You don't have to come and say anything. Now we know that things are activated by words. And many times when people pray about something, and when someone does share something from the Spirit, something of their hearts, it's amazing how it will build in things. So there will be people that will come, and maybe somebody will come one night and they have the youth so strong in their heart. But they're thinking, I don't really hear God that well, and what I say would be so insignificant, you know. But all of a sudden someone else gets up and they say, I don't understand what this is, because we didn't say we're going to come and pray for the youth tonight, but I really have the youth on my heart. What has that just done to you? Like when I was having the Lord share my heart about the sermons with the stirrings. And then I open up the two books He tells me to go to, and I open up and both of them start talking about being stirred. I had another level of knowing of His workings. You know, and the next thing is I realized, you can, in the natural, you would want everyone to leave here going, you know, like this. You know, that may not be the case at all. But I believe if we're open, every single one of us will leave with some stirring in the pot. And so whether you come to prayer or whatever, but words do activate. And I think so many times people don't give things because it seems so insignificant. Or would this be right? And I would say that most important, you know, and time is give what you have. You know, and I know the format here pretty much has been, you know, like we would tell people if they're coming, you know, don't scatter all over the room because sometimes it's really hard to hear each other or to hook up. If we go to a place sometimes, you know, and we've been there for a while and the people are having a hard time hook up, sometimes we'll just sit in a circle, you know, just to find a way. And yet other people would say, oh my gosh, if you're going to have me do that, I'm definitely not coming. You know, so you have to just read what God wants to do. But the thing that's so amazing is you will find that as you come and you worship, but even as you pray with people, you will notice there's a closeness that you have with people. Now, I know everybody's schedules are different and people can't always come to things. I just want us all to be open. To have, because there is a measure of supply that you will notice when people, when more people can come at times. If they come, see, but it makes a difference too of what supply you do bring. If you don't think anything is going to happen, we won't have anything happen. But, and the next thing is, you'll find, like I said, you could go to, I have gone, this has happened to us too, we have gone to corporate prayer and left that setting and not even realize that we'd had anything put in our hearts. And then later, something will come up in our heart and we'll realize, ah, we got that during corporate prayer time. And so there are deposits and things you can get in our hearts just of being in that corporate setting. You know, I know that quite a few years ago, we were in a minister's meeting in Wisconsin. And, of course, we were the only people there that weren't from Wisconsin, I think. And we prayed quite a long time for Wisconsin. And I can tell you when we left, I kind of thought, gosh, you know, were we kind of out of place here? Well, do you know that a few months later, the Lord started having me pray for Wisconsin? So what was being done there, God put in my heart. And so the next thing is, you'll find that, let's say you tell someone, you know, and this may be Sunday morning pre-service prayer time, and you tell someone, I'm going to be there. And you'll find that just because you've given your word and you say you're going to do something, when your flesh then still doesn't want to do it, because I can tell you the flesh will probably never really want to pray. Because we are called, Jesus called us, did he not, the house of prayer? He drove the money changers out of the temple. And he says, you've made this temple a den of thieves. And he says, it is called a house of prayer. And who lives in us now? Does it not say in Corinthians that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So we are now the house of prayer. And you will have to drive out those money changers at times, because I can tell you most of the time your flesh will not want to pray. So hallelujah. So let me go through just a couple things quickly and I'll close here. So it says that, and in corporate prayer, breaking through the barrier. I remember when I would play tennis with someone, I really had not done sports, and she was really amazing, and so I would be ready to quit. You know, I mean, I'd hit the ball back and forth, and I enjoyed that for a little bit, and so let's go home. But because she was so skilled, I mean, she was just warming up. And so then she'd have me do the net, and she'd have me do this and do that. And to say I enjoyed it, not so much. But the thing was, she so improved my game because she helped me stretch. And so when you go and you pray with some other people that have prayed more, they can help you break that barrier in your life. And then you will find that as you are with people and you observe people that have flowed in things of prayer, their confidence in that area will help you just open up and help you flow in things, because then it's always that learning of what, you know, you would never be a parrot and yield like them, but you can observe how they flow and how they yield, and you can learn from that. Hallelujah. Well, I think, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm going to, hallelujah. You know, the thing that I found too, that as a prayer leader, you know, one of the things that was really a liberation for all of us was we would realize the principle of sowing and reaping. Because, you know, sometimes you can have so much going on in your own family, in your own business, in your own life, and you could just be stuck on praying on that forever. But we have found that if you will sow in these areas of prayer, and you'll sow with things, you could be praying with these other things, and the Lord give you one scripture for your kids. He could give you one thing, and you get more done with that one phrase he gives you than if you'd spent the whole time just praying about your own situation. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. I want to close with just one thing. Hallelujah. And I realize that I have been here and there and all over. Hallelujah. But praise God, I've known you. You've followed it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. The other thing that the Lord spoke to my heart very quickly was about guarding our garden. You know, and in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 2, God told Adam, he said, now you tend and keep and guard this garden. And I believe that the Spirit is just wanting to bring to our attention that we need to guard our garden. Now that's your own life. That's your own family, your house, your church, whatever it is. But that's where it's you guard and keep, and you know that when something starts to come against your family, something starts coming against you personally, against your body, he's given us the dominion to guard our garden. And I had that come up several times to exhort all of us just to pay attention and to recognize that we have that dominion and responsibility to guard our garden. And there's some things that you start to realize you've started to allow in your life, and then you just get in the Word, get it settled on it, and you say, no, this is not coming in my body. This is not coming in our family. This is not coming here. And I think one of the reasons he is even having that, I think there's going to be some guarding over this church. No. Hallelujah. This is coming in. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what he's doing. Hallelujah. Praise God. So can I do one thing one more time? I did teach preschool. And so, you know, I think those things happen. And I know this can seem silly. This could even seem, you know, I probably, the church I grew up in, when I was growing up, if someone had done this, we had thought this was going to be disrespectful even. No. No, it's not. Because sometimes he'll use a word picture. He'll even use a word picture that seems a little different, but we'll remember it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know the service today has been different. But you know what? When you're standing there and you're making chocolate pie and you've got all those wonderful ingredients in there, you stir and you're stirring some more and you're stirring some more and you're stirring some more. So this morning, this was not teaching. This was stirring. Hallelujah. Is stirring always as comfortable? Hallelujah. So let's just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, you're stirring things in us. I thank you, this church, Lord, we're stirred up. Oh, we're stirred up, Lord. I thank you that your love is being able to flow in us, and your love is stirring our hearts in areas, Lord. I thank you that we stir up lines of communication with you. If we haven't been talking to you very much lately, oh, Lord, hallelujah, we stir ourselves up to talk to you. We're going to go home and talk to you today. We're talking to you this week. We stir up those lines of communication with you. Oh, Lord, I thank you. We don't want anything lying dormant in the bottom of us, Lord. I thank you, the giftings and the different things you've put in our hearts, Lord. We stir those things up. And, Lord, we stir ourselves up to take hold of you and take hold of your word, like Daniel stirred himself up to take hold of your promises. I thank you there's a stirring in our hearts to take hold, Lord, to take hold with you. Hallelujah. I thank you. There's stirrings in our hearts. I thank you with those stirrings, Lord. There's the life of God that's flowing in us. I thank you, Lord, any areas that we had just ideas about what prayer is. I thank you, Lord. We're letting you stir our hearts and blend us. And I thank you, Father. There's stirrings in our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now you have a choice right now. You have a choice right now. You have a choice. We have a choice right now, Lord. We give you permission. We give you permission. Hallelujah. Of moving in our hearts. Of expanding our hearts. I thank you, Lord. Anyone who's been discouraged this summer, I thank you. That's lifting. Hallelujah. I thank you. There's an excitement for God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you. We're breaking through, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. You know, Thanksgiving is a real stirring agent. As you start to thank him, things will stir in you. As we start to speak of his goodness and his greatness, things stir in us. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you that this next year, Lord, hallelujah, that we're stirred. We're stirred, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.